Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You've heard me say this as a teacher. We rank last on school counselors and social workers. So one of the things is of trying to find those people, trying to have them out there and trying to have them integrated into real life. I think it's, you know, imagining that we're going to have a call up and that police are going to rush and social service folks are going to rush. I don't think we're thinking creatively enough to look what our communities look like, what we're asking for. And I think there's a strong argument out of this that if we continue to chase our tails and don't fix the big stuff at the front end, the economic inequities, the educational inequities, those are the things that lead to a lot of these situations.
Yes, that was Governor Walz. If you missed his presser at 3 o'clock, we're still unpacking many of the things that came to light, but it can be safely predicted that the Minneapolis Police Department is going to look significantly different in the future than it has in the past. It looks like eight or nine different specific recommendations, Jor, about the transformations that have to take place to reduce or eliminate the odds of the kind of force that we saw with George Floyd. Jor, indulge me for a second. I respond to data and evidence, big Associated Press review of the MPD, the Minneapolis Police Department. Listen to this. Force has been used 11,000 times in the last 5 years. 11,000 times. Force was used just in Minneapolis. African-Americans, 60% of those cases, even though they only represent 19% of Minneapolis's population. Body pins, most commonly used, followed by punching, kicking, and shoving. African-Americans in Minnesota, 7% of our population, 36%, though, of the people behind bars in prison. Right now, two different judicial systems in Minnesota, one for blacks and one for whites. Jarring.
We're just not doing it right. We're not doing it right. And that's what, you know, it's funny. I had a Zoom call.
Do we want to get back to work?
And they're like, we're going to play that soundbite for you in just one moment. But I had a call with my family and they're like, what exactly is going on there?
Yeah.
And yeah. I found myself not defending, but explaining. And then I'm like, wait a minute, what am I saying? We're just screwing this up. Like, I can't even explain it because I can't wrap my brain around the way the police have been treating our black community. And I should have known better, Paul, because, you know, I did that series with the Star Tribune on sexual violence and how the MPD treats victims of sexual violence. And there are people on the force that would show up to a call of a woman who just got raped and say, well, what were you wearing? And literally, first comment was, if you had just gone to church and met a nice boy, this never would have happened. You know, total victim shaming, total blaming. So
really,
if there are people on the force today, even today, this is just in the last few years, that can't have empathy for a woman who has called because she has been raped, I can't imagine that they could have any empathy for somebody that they think is a criminal. So we've seen it over and over again. But like I said, I feel like listening to that press conference, it's an awakening. It's of course we've been doing it wrong. And of course we need change. And change is coming. Change is coming. And I, for one, am really grateful about that. Did you have another soundbite that we were going to play, David? I'm sorry. No. Okay, forget it. We won't have any more soundbites. But what we will talk to is Susie Jones. And Paul, I don't know if you got to hear her full interview with Chief Madaria Arredondo, but our Susie Jones got a one-on-one with the chief. and it was broadcast on Facebook Live. I hope you got a chance to hear it. We're going to replay some of it, but then we're going to talk to Susie about what his plan is, because we didn't hear from him today.
And by the way, we're still in the midst of a pandemic. I know it's inconvenient. I know we'd like to get back to our old lives. Show me somebody who doesn't want things the way they were back in January, or maybe September of last year when it was a little bit warmer. Right now, COVID-19, Jorah, is killing 1,000 Americans on average a day. 1,000 are dying, 4,000 worldwide. And the concern is that it's ramping up again as states ease restrictions. We're seeing big spikes in the numbers. Florida, Texas, California, Arizona. A lot of concern. Hospitals may have to declare an emergency because they're running out of ICU beds. So this thing isn't over. All of us just need to be judicious and be safe and do all those things that the epidemiologists are telling us to do. The physical distancing, wear a mask. If everybody wears a mask, the risk goes way down. It's not over yet. God willing, we'll get a vaccine maybe the end of the year, early next year. Until then, you know, take it easy out there, because so many people I come in contact with are pretty much, hey, aren't you glad this thing is over? That was nasty, but whew, man, great to be back. Well,
yeah, not so much.
Just be careful out there, because
not so much, not yet.
Odds are the second wave is coming back. Certainly investors must think that there's more bad news to come. The market down 1,800 points today, most of that in reaction to the fact that the virus, this next wave, seems to be increasing. So don't want to be Debbie Downer, but just keep that in the back of your mind.
But you are.
I know. Why should today be any different?
Susie's off work, but she's graciously said that she would talk with us. So we are going to talk with Susie Jones about her one-on-one with Chief Madaria Arredondo next.
First of all, thank you for doing this.
Thank you.
And my first question to you is, how are you doing?
Thank you. That really means the world to me. I'm doing all right. I will be the first to admit I probably have not had a whole lot of sleep over the last 2 weeks, but I also know that this has been very unprecedented times, and so I really want to make sure that I'm doing the best that I can to be there for both our communities, our department members, and how we can really try to move forward. So, but I truly do appreciate you asking me about my involvement.
That was Susie Jones talking with her one-on-one exclusive with Police Chief Madaria Arredondo of Minneapolis Police Department. Susie's joining us now on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline. Susie, what a beautiful way to start the interview, because I'm having trouble sleeping. I have anxiety all the time. I cannot imagine being the police chief of Minneapolis right now. You were close to him. You guys were sitting together. He did an amazing job with the interview. Do you really think he's fine? I mean, is he okay?
Yeah, he's a smart man. He's measured. Yes. He's, you know, I know he exercises and he's got a good staff around him. And I think he is doing all right. But okay, this is something, like he said, is unprecedented, and yes, he is not going to fold. He's going to stand up and continue to work for change. I will say this, that just so folks know listening, he did a press conference yesterday where he spoke to members of the media for probably a half an hour, maybe 45 mm-hmm. minutes. And then he had sit-down one-on-ones with about 15 different news organizations, Network, NBC, ABC, CNN, CBS, and then the local stations, and then radio stations. And so I was like second to last, and I thought, oh, man, he's going to be falling asleep. But he was very polite and very forthcoming, and I asked him the questions as I ask questions, which is kind of uniquely mine.
You did a great job. You did a great
Absolutely.
Job.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hey, Susie, there's I like Jordana's word. There's sort of an awakening, call it a reawakening. Mm-hmm. White Americans going, holy cow, you know, maybe this isn't front of mind every day. It should be front of mind every day. I think George Floyd's murder, again, let's not sugarcoat it, has pulled the covers back and exposed the rot. And yes, a lot of police officers are good, upstanding people, and they want the best things, but rooting out the bad apples, always a challenge. Chief Arredondo talked about changing the culture. Did he bring that up in your interview? Did he talk about the difficulty he's had trying to nudge MPD in the right direction?
Absolutely. And we talked about his relationship with the president of the Minneapolis Police Federation. He called it professional. And he thought that Bob Crowe was in a position to be to listen going forward. He
really?
Said that Crowe knows that there's a pause in negotiations to review the contract from an outside agency. We talked about race quite a bit. And he said this is something that we, as you mentioned, Paul, everyone has to address head on. He said everyone has bias, but it can't be part of your job. You can't bring that into your job. And he believes that the energy and the will are present right now for this kind of a shift of transformation, evolution, as it were, of policing in the United States.
So, yeah, I'm surprised to hear him say that Bob Crowe is willing to move forward. Did you get the sense that the chief wants to move forward with Bob Crowe? Because we know the talks seem to have broken down.
Well, the talks, the negotiations, when you talk about union negotiation contracts like we have in our union, that they are on pause. And I did ask him, I said, a lot of people are saying that that's not legal or you can't just pull back on negotiations. And he said, well, actually you can, both sides can at any point just say we're going to pause. And so he feels he's in his right to be able to take that step. I mean, there's so much swirling around this today. I was at a press conference, you guys, with Pastor Brian Heron, New Zion Baptist Church. I was Nakima Levy Armstrong, the head of the Minneapolis NAACP. Did I say that right?
Leslie Redmond. Yeah, that's Leslie.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So Leslie was on. And one thing I was going to say, well, back to Paul's comment, because Paul was saying, you know, we're all kind of the light is being shown on this. Yes. You know, I think we're all learning things. You know, we are seeing things and learning things we didn't know. Maybe people did know this, but policing in the United States in many ways grew out of slavery when there were people that would track down runaway slaves. Mm-hmm. That was their job, was to go get runaways that would try to get away. They were trackers. They were policing the slaves. And so if it's really, you know, if it's rooted that 400 and some years, it's hard to undo that DNA or that the DNA of how it all started. I don't know if I'm making sense, but
we hear that. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It goes back a long way. Mm-hmm. It goes back. That's
long
how local police organizations started, because they would hunt down runaway slaves. And that's
right.
How each local, you know, town or city, whatever district, started local policing. Agreed.
Right.
Yeah. It's, we're all learning so much.
Right.
Susie, tell us more about the conversation, with the chief. What either surprised you or that you learned or something that, you know, we don't know that he's going through right now or that he wants to move forward?
Well, I know he wants to move forward. I did ask him if he should step down, if he's given any consideration to resigning, because there's so much criticism. And he said that bad things happen in the world, and that he thought that if he were to step down and that guaranteed that no more bad things would happen, he would step right down. But as we all know, bad things happen. And so he's committed. He's all in on Minneapolis. You know, he grew up, he's from Minneapolis. He understands racial discrimination. He was, you know, he filed a suit in Minneapolis against it at one point in his own professional career. So I think, again, he says there is the energy and the will, and hopefully it's an opportunity for everybody to come together and not push it under the rug, not sweep it under the rug.
He also has the support of many grassroots organizations and minority groups, people of color in Minneapolis. They support him. I've heard community organizers say that they support this chief.
Yeah. Well, that's what I said. Yeah. Today I went to that mm-hmm. press conference this morning with African-American leaders in Minneapolis, and they came out specifically to say, we are all about
right.
Rondo, Chief Rondo, and he's a member of our community, and we believe him and trust him. They also were quite furious, this group, with the city council, because, as you know, last Sunday the city council made this grand announcement at Powderhorn Park that they were going to defund and dismantle the Minneapolis Police Department. Well, they made that decision in a vacuum and did not talk to any of these black leaders, which was insulting to them, to say the least, because any real reform has to include community members and has to get buy-in from everyone, including the police officers. Nakimi Levy Armstrong today said she really asked each of the police officers themselves to look inside themselves and to decide what they're made of and if this is something they want to be a part of or they want to be a part of a different way of keeping the peace in Minneapolis.
Susie Jones, great interview, great reporting. Thank you so much. We appreciate the perspective. All those things you can't get from an app, we can get from you. Thank you.
Yeah. Right. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Susie. Yeah, you just have to sometimes sit down and talk about it because not all of the leaders of these organizations were 100% behind defunding the police, whatever that meant. So she's right. I mean, you have to keep everybody in mind. And maybe we have to go slower. It's happening so fast, Paul.
Sure. This is, in a way, it's entrepreneurial. Best practices.
Yes.
What
yes.
works? What worked in Camden? What has worked in other communities? Could it work here? Try some things. Do A/B testing. Oh, that works. Mm-hmm. That doesn't work. Throw that out. But it's going to be an evolution. I don't think it's going to be turning on a light switch and everything is perfect. But how do you evolve? How does the police department become woke and more sensitive, less dependence on violence, and serve every constituent in the city of Minneapolis? There's a way to do it. It's going to be threading a needle, but we have no other choice. We have to figure it out.
Professor Mark Ulser from St. Thomas University to talk about the future of policing next on CCO.
So before we introduce our next guest, I just want to clear the air. You could hear Rory barking in the background during the last interview with Susie, our big black lab.
We could. And that's okay because he had some questions. He wanted to figure out what was happening with the chief and the union. I get it. It's a confusing time, and he wanted to get in on the interview.
But I'm pretty sure that having listened to Walter Cronkite and Dan Rather, there were a couple of newscasts where you could hear the dog barking in the background. So
these are different times, my friend. These are different
times.
And the audience gives you grace. We are all giving each other a lot of grace these days, and certainly the barking dog in the back gets grace. We get it. We get it.
Well, the pizza guy showed up, and Rory, our barking dog, our big black lab, got very excited.
Pizza?
Hey, we're talking
about... Can we do our next interview, please?
Yeah, I know. We're talking about reinventing the Minneapolis police force. What does that look like? We wanted to get some perspective from a former prosecutor and a law professor. Professor Mark Osler from St. Thomas University joins us on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline to imagine the future of policing and maybe the direction we're going. Professor, welcome to the show.
It's my pleasure, and I've never taken questions from a dog before, so I'm looking forward to it.
I can
this show's kind of a mess.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, we do what we can.
Yes.
What were your reactions to the events of the last 2 weeks? First of all, the death of George Floyd, the focus rightfully being on Minneapolis and policing. What were your visceral reactions as an academic, as a law professor, as a human being?
Well, I think, first of all, as a human being, I had the same reaction everyone else did when I saw that video and watched a man die under the knee of a police officer in a action that seemed completely uncalled for. And I think no matter who I've spoken to, that's been part of their reaction. As a law professor and somebody who studies criminal law and policing, I was so sad because we've had so many wake-up calls prior to this. We had Jamar Clark. We had the 2003 arbitration agreement with the feds on policing here. There have been so many failed attempts to fix this, and yet here we are.
Yeah. I know you work as an advocate for sentencing and clemency policies rooted in principles of human dignity. And I don't know if you've analyzed our MPD extensively, but when you hear the history now that we talk about in the news, when you know the problems they have had with the communities of color, doesn't it make you, I'm curious to know your reaction to that as to why, I mean, are you thinking, why haven't we changed this sooner? This seems to have gone on way too long.
Absolutely. And, part of it is a failure to address culture, underlying culture. Mm. I mean, let's face it, if there's racism in our society as a whole, and there is, then that racism is going to permeate areas where people have discretion. And police officers have discretion. They have discretion in how they address people on the street. And so that really needs attention, and that underlying culture that leads to those moments need to be examined much more deeply than it was. And part of that goes to the union question.
Professor Osler, I'm just curious if you think that there is, in fact, a groundswell now of momentum for change. 76% of Americans now say that racial and ethnic discrimination is a big problem in the United States. A Monmouth poll, a majority of Americans are now saying police are more likely to use excessive force with black people than with white people. That's up from 1 out of 3 just 4 years ago in 2016. It seems like this time is different. Do you agree? Is this going to result in change?
I do. I certainly hope it will, and I think there's a good chance it will. I mean, that teenager who took the video that came out first may prove to be the most politically significant filmmaker of this century. Because it was striking, the reaction that I'm hearing. I have friends and collaborators from across the board, people who have called for racial change for decades and others who haven't seen the reason for it. But I'm seeing, from one end to the other, a recognition that there has to be fundamental change.
Let's talk about the union, because the union had such a stronghold and really created the culture that was happening with the MPD. As you know, the talks have broken down. We heard from Susie Jones, our reporter today. She said that Chief Arredondo is willing to work with the union, and the head of the union, Bob Kroll, said he's willing to work with the department. Can they trust each other again? Can they move forward? Or is this a time where we are going to have to get rid of a police union?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. Certainly, they're talking about approaching this in good faith. The contract expired back in December, and so there is the need to come up with something new. And at the center of that is going to be the grievance procedure and the arbitration of discipline that has hamstrung attempts at reform and addressing problem police officers. Will the union be willing to give on that? Maybe not. And if they're not, then I think that the city leaders really do have to look at something that for Democrats is almost unimaginable, which is, thinking about ways to get around or get rid of a public union.
Wow.
Professor, curious about your thoughts about shield immunity. Is the bar set too high now? All of us as citizens are accountable for our actions. And yet, to be able to indict an officer for a murder, it seems like the amount of evidence required for that is extraordinarily high to get an indictment. The benefit of the doubt goes with the cop. Hey, my life was threatened. I had to use force. What can we do to change this? How do we nudge that in the right direction?
Yeah, there's a couple of different issues here. One is that the immunity that police officers have from being sued civilly, and that's something that needs to be addressed. That doesn't affect, the bar and what needs to be shown if they're charged with a crime. You mentioned being indicted. Mike Freeman, after Jamar Clark, said that going forward, I'm not going to take these to the grand jury, and he didn't in the Justine Diamond case. So, and here he didn't either. Mm-hmm. But the problem isn't that the law is different for the police so much as the deference given to police officers is often unwarranted, let's face it, that prosecutors work with police all the time, and they're seen as being on the same team. And that means that once that prosecutors have to think critically about what police officers do, they're stepping out of their normal role. And that produces unfortunate results sometimes.
Yeah, so we had a caller call in and say, you know, Jor, I don't understand. If a police officer kills a person, isn't that the same as a regular person killing a person? Isn't that murder? Isn't it the same charges? And my only response was police officers seem to be held to a different level of accountability. And is that what you're saying also, that the prosecutor has to kind of deal with this in a different way because the officer could say, well, like, my life was in danger, so he gets that protection?
No, not in a different way in most cases. You know, in a case like this, it's the same law, it's the same elements. What I'm saying is it's the way prosecutors and grand juries use their discretion, that they take the gloves off when they're dealing with police officers sometimes. They do show more deference to lines like the person was reaching for my gun. Now, what's different about this case, about George Floyd, is there's no question of self-defense, that it would be laughable if Officer Chauvin was to come into court and say, well, I feared for my life in that moment, because it's completely rebutted by the video that everyone in the world has seen.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Very true. All right. That was illuminating. Professor Mark Osler from St. Thomas, thank you so much for joining us today, sir. We wish you the best. Come back often.
My pleasure. I will. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really interesting. I'm glad he answered some of those questions, because it is confusing. It is confusing. Yeah. You know, murder is murder. Why are you different than me? And then, of course, put the whole racial thing in there. It's just, it is confusing, and we're in uncharted territory, my friends.
Absolutely. When we come back, Jor, a review, some of the highlights of our show today. That's next.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.